If you look out of the window, in a few minutes it'll be getting dark. And that's because it's autumn and the nights are drawing in. It's autumn, and in the UK it is autumn for the church. The summer days when Christianity was at the heart of national life and it was respectable to be a Christian, those days are gone. Christians and the church are not too popular anymore. And it looks as if winter is on the way, when it will be darker and colder and harder for us in the church. But it's not winter yet. And we still have the freedom to live and speak out as Christians. And our question tonight is, how do we do that in our own communities? How do we engage with our communities? How do we get involved in the life of the places where we live and work? How can we make full use of the opportunities that we have to be salt and light in this world and to share the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus? And before we look at some practical ways of doing that, we're going to take just a few minutes to orient ourselves from the Bible, because that's always where we should start, to help us to understand who we are and where we are and how we should relate to the city where we live. On Sunday nights, we've been looking at Daniel. And actually, tonight's topic fits in really well with Daniel because we live in a very similar situation. Daniel and his friends are exiles from the world they know. They're living in an alien land and they need to know how they can serve God faithfully when the world is against them. That's why we called the Daniel series Living as Exiles. And we are exiles too. This world is not our true home anyway. And the hostility that we're beginning to feel in these autumn days is exactly what we should expect. Let's have a look at Jeremiah chapter 29. It's on page 789. If you've got one of the blue Bibles, turn to that, 789, Jeremiah chapter 29. And I'm going to read the first nine verses. Jeremiah is writing soon after Daniel and co. have been taken into exile. So they're in Babylon, but Jerusalem is still standing. The city is still there. There are still people living there. There's still a king. Jeremiah himself is living in Jerusalem, and he writes to tell the exiles how God wants them to live. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the craftsmen, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elasah, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I've not sent them, declares the Lord." You see, these false prophets Jeremiah talks about, they're saying, don't worry, the good times will come again. Jerusalem is still standing, and yeah, we'll be back there soon. Just keep your heads down and wait. Rather like we might be tempted to do in our situation today. Let's hope the 1950s will come back and following the Lord will be easy and society will be sympathetic. But Jeremiah says, no, that's a false hope. You are in Babylon for the duration. This generation at least will have to live and die there, and this is how you should live. may be surprising, but this is what you need to do. Verse 5, you've got to settle there, make your home there. Verse 6, you've got to keep normal family life going. Get married, have kids. And here's the key verse for tonight, verse 7. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. They're in a hostile city where the name of the living God is not known and which demands they conform to his pagan ways. But the Lord, through Jeremiah, says, this is where I have put you. And you are to do this city good. Pray for its welfare. Pray for its peace and prosperity. And obviously, if you're praying for the good of the city, you're going to be working for it too. And if the city does well, so will you. And like the people Jeremiah writes to here, and like Daniel, we are living in Babylon, a city that is ruled by false gods and refuses to follow the real one. We are exiles, and we may not feel at home here. We should not feel at home here, and yet we are to make our homes here. And we're to work and pray for the good of the city, this city of Bristol. Now, what does that look like? As Christians, we understand that what will do most good in this city is for people to turn to Christ. And if you are not a Christian, that's the message we want you to hear. That's what we proclaim here every Sunday and through the week and in our lives as we share them with other people. That's the message that you will come to know Jesus Christ for yourself as your Savior and King. That will mean, if you do that, living the rest of your life as an exile. But at the end of this life, we get to go home with the Savior we love and eagerly expect, because our true citizenship is in heaven. So we pray for more gospel preaching churches so that more people can hear about the Lord. Okay, but what about each of us individually tomorrow in our everyday lives? How does each of us engage with the community where we live? How does each of us seek the prosperity of the city where we are? What we're thinking about tonight is ways of getting involved in community life that will do good to everyone and get us up close to people who need to hear the gospel. For some of us, that community could be our school or our college, university. And your fellow students or your fellow teachers are your community. And I'm sure Sharon would love to talk to you about becoming a school governor, which is a brilliant way of engaging with the community. For others, the community is our street or something that goes on nearby, or a sports team or something like that. Well, for instance, here's one simple way to get involved. Pick on something that you're interested in that is for the good of the city. It could be almost anything. It could be a club or society at your school or uni. It could be a community association. Perhaps you go running in Eastfield Park, or you play football there, or like me, you walk your dog there. Well, there's a very active group called the Friends of Eastfield Park. Why not find them on Facebook? Go along to one of their meetings, get in touch and tell them you're a Christian and start volunteering and take it from there. Ollie will be explaining why this is especially good time to do something like that. Don't be afraid to get involved. It's autumn, but it's not winter, and the opportunities are still there. Join a political party or organize a street party. There are so many ways to make a difference to people's lives. Work and pray for the prosperity of the city, and pray for the opportunity to make Christ known. This is what Daniel and his friends did in Babylon. They lived with courage. They served in the land of exile, and God blessed their witness so that even the greatest of kings bowed his knee to the living God. That was the end result.